What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Kneel Down Podcast. 105 for us.
105, and we are, what, 9 days away from NFL kickoff, if I'm correct?
We are exactly 9 days away. I got my bartending schedule for next week. I fucking work at 9 o'clock on Thursday night, so I'll be catching the back half of the Lions Chiefs at the bar.
You better hope you're not busy.
Mm-hmm. But no, I made sure to request off every single Sunday. I work this upcoming Sunday, but that's the last Sunday I'm working for 4 months, I'll tell you that much.
What about Thursdays?
I mean, it is what it is. If I work, it'll be nine o'clock on. I'll catch the second half at the bar.
But okay.
We have 53-man rosters finalized today. We still got some news and notes. We got trades. We got holdouts ending. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we got big news. I mean, he was going in your second round in fantasy draft. Jonathan Taylor, not traded. And he's starting out on the PUP, which is he's out for the first 4 games minimum.
Yep. So we saw him and Kyler Murray, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Those are the two big names starting out on the PUP list. So, yep, 4 weeks minimum. I mean, at this point, most fantasy drafts are done unless you're drafting either this week or over Labor Day weekend. I don't like to do that because a bunch of people are busy. We can never coordinate a time. But at this point, you can't draft Deion Jackson. You can't draft Evan Hall. You're not drafting anybody in this backfield.
No, it was already, even with JT, I was a little skeptical, but I had said that he's not finishing in the top five. I believe that wasn't on our hot takes episode. It was when we were just talking about that division. And I said, I wouldn't take him in the first round because of the injury at the time, which is still happening. They drafted a rookie quarterback who, again, rookies don't dump off to the running backs, and he's a mobile guy. So that adds on top of it. So there was just a bunch of things on why I was already out on him. And, you know, this is definitely the icing on the cake, the cherry on top of that sundae.
So he's out for the first 4 weeks. So week five, if you are still drafting, are you even looking his way in the third round?
I have a draft tonight. It was a random league, just popped up, a 10-man, three flex, full PPR. I don't know when I would touch him. Like, let's compare him to Javonte. Javonte's coming off of injury, but he's at least going to be playing the first 4 games. Javonte, in the last mock that I did was today, he went in the 7th round.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference between Taylor and Javonte is when they're both on the field, Taylor will get 80% of the work, where Javonte, we'll talk about him here for our upcoming main segment, but I think it'll be a more 50-50 split backfield.
It might, you know, to start out, it might be more 50-50, but he's at least out there playing, and he's going to get targets. We know that. Russell Wilson did it last year for him. Even in his lone preseason game, Javonte was receiving targets. Jonathan Taylor is not going to be receiving targets from the points I've said all offseason. Rookie quarterback, mobile quarterback. You know, this could be a hot take, but at this moment, I'd rather have Javonte over JT right now.
For their current ADPs, not just straight up.
For sure, their ADPs, but right. Maybe even straight up, because it's 4 games minimum. It could be 6 games. It could be 7. We don't know. He could just hold out and not play. We don't know. We know Javonte's playing, and he looks so much better than what he's supposed to be right now. Sure. So, I mean, I'd rather have Miles Sanders straight over JT straight up right now. I'd rather have Najee. Like, all these guys are going in the 4th, 5th round over a guy who's missing 4 weeks, who's missing a quarter of the season. And so, to answer that question, no, I'm not taking him in the 3rd round.
I was going to say, so I think you answered my question there. But some Badger guy you are.
This is just
the first chapter in the story. The trade deadline, October 31st, he could get dealt. If he isn't dealt, they could franchise tag him next year and force him to play. So
no, that would be hilarious.
This is definitely not over.
No, and for Dynasty, and I'd actually tried getting JT this morning before this news had dropped in Dynasty. Like, what do you do with him in Dynasty? Like, obviously, it depends on what your roster may be structured as. If you're a win now team, do you keep him and hope that he can be there for the rest of the year and you can string along two out of those first four wins or three out of those first four? Like, what do you do for JT in a Dynasty?
Step one, you go to Home Depot. Step two, you get some rope.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but for real, if I'm a win now team, I think I hold on to him.
Okay.
If I'm rebuilding, I'm for sure trying to ship him off.
Okay.
It's as simple as that, because like you said this morning, his value is so weird right now. I mean, he could come back after 4 weeks and be the RB1 like he's been the past couple of years, or he could come back and Richardson could take away some of his carries. He could not.
Which that is going to happen. I don't think he can be an RB1, or I still don't think he can and will be an RB5.
Right.
Like five or better. But yeah, he could come back and be the RB. You know, it could be 13 on the year, but it could be points per game wise, the RB8.
I mean, he's still 24 years old. In Dynasty, he's still got three good years left, so I'm not super concerned. But, I mean, yeah, if I'm rebuilding, I'm going to try and get more for him than what he's really worth. So,
yeah, okay.
We touched on it a little bit, but Josh Jacobs and the Raiders agreed to a one-year, $12 million deal to end the holdout, just a couple more thousand than Saquon signed for. And he's back with the team immediately. So all the fears, they're out the window to me. I had my draft on Saturday at like 5 o'clock. This news dropped on Saturday at like 2, and I was ecstatic. So if I had the chance to draft him, I would have no problem taking him. I mean, even if you're in a 10-12 man league, if you're towards the turn 9-10, I have no problem taking him there with my first or second pick.
Yeah, I've been doing in my mocks in my 12 man. I'm in the 7th. I've been pairing up Saquon and him, just getting me a lethal 1-2 combo, which I usually don't do. But the value was there for Jacobs. Now he'll be going in that early second. But I mean, if he's your RB2, you're going to be in the final four. That's for sure.
You're in good shape.
Yeah, you're in great shape.
49ers, they traded, unfortunately, their third overall pick from a couple of years ago, Trey Lance, to the Cowboys for a fourth round pick.
If they were 500, like, well, we won't even say 4-13 or like just terrible. If they were just 500 on playoff fringe, on the fringe, Shanahan's gone. Lynch is gone. This for is sure. Like a move in an absolute bust that gets people fired and sometimes not jobs again, like in that same job title. Like, they got to work their way back up. They're just lucky that Jimmy G was able to stay upright and that they found a random gem for the moment in Brock Purdy. Because if they aren't good this year, they might be gone.
I mean, they could. And that Jerry Jones came out and said that he has no plan to use Trey Lance other than just a backup quarterback. So, I mean, you really have to feel bad for the guy. He's been injured. He shouldn't have gone third overall to be.
No, he shouldn't have. Justin Fields, even though he has not been what we all thought, Justin Fields should have been the second. Mac Jones should have been the third. That's how it was the whole time, and then it changed.
Yeah. So, I mean, for redraft, obviously don't touch Trey Lance. For Dynasty, I've seen people dropping him already.
Yeah, you drop him. He's the third-string quarterback on the Cowboys. Even if he becomes the second string next year, it's not like Dak's 38 or even 35. Like, Dak's still young and good. Like, he's not playing great. He's not playing well. He's playing good. So, yeah, there's no way I'm holding any value of Trey Lance. And like, I'd rather pick over Trey Lance in rookie drafts.
And it just goes to show you, this time last year, we were taking Trey Lance in the 8th, 9th, 10th round as our quarterback in every freaking league.
Yep. Everyone thought he was going to be the steal, him and Jalen Hurts, these mobile guys. He has all the weapons. Didn't have CMC at the time. He didn't even get a big chance in that monsoon. Week two, I don't even know what he did in week two. And then I think he got hurt week three.
Oh, I thought it was week two.
Checking right now. I know Billy has him, so I'm just trying to check. Surprised Billy still has him.
Yeah, I mean, and especially in a one quarterback league, they just drop them. Just cut your losses.
Oh, he played 21% of the snaps. You're right. He had three carries, three pass attempts for 43 total yards. So, yeah, he didn't even get an opportunity. But he ran the ball 13 times in that week one.
Well, no shit. You couldn't throw the ball.
he threw a pick.
So, yeah, just, I mean, that's a perfect example of you think you're in a great spot, and a year later, a lot of things can change. Mm-hmm. for fantasy or real-life NFL. But
yep.
The only other thing I had, this is going to be a wild storyline throughout the year, because I truly believe the Cardinals will not win a game. The Browns traded Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback who played a couple of games for the Titans, a couple of games in the NFL in his career, to the Cardinals for a seventh-round pick. A few days later, released Colt McCoy. So this at this point, it's a full tank mode. We all knew beforehand they were trying for the number one pick, but this is pretty locked in at this point. You know, Kyler's starting on the PUP list.
That's not new.
I know. I'm just coupling all the Cardinals right together. But at this point, why rush Kyler back? I just took Hollywood Brown in my I think seventh round redraft this past weekend. I mean, I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
That's not even a value anymore, because we don't know who's throwing. Like, we don't know who's throwing the ball. Two, the two options are a rookie and a guy who's never proven anything. Right. And he's been in the league for like 10 years. Like, this is, I'd rather have, I mean, obviously the talent, I mean, the talents between Hollywood and London are pretty close. I would say Hollywood has been better. He's obviously more experienced. But I'd rather have Desmond Ridder as my quarterback and draft Drake London over Hollywood.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this changes anything for James Conner. He's still going to get his work. But Hollywood, I don't know if the quality of targets are going to be there. At this point, I'm just expecting him to be a wide receiver three for my team.
Yeah, I mean, it's James Conner. I don't think it does too much to him. We've always said you don't want to base your main running backs off on bad teams just because the scoring opportunity and potential isn't there. That is the only knock on Connor, but that's why he's going in the sixth, seventh round, I believe. Yeah, he went in the 607. I drafted him actually in my last mock. Oh, no, I didn't. He went one before me. Anyways, but he's going in the sixth round. He's going to be getting 20 opportunities a game, or Hollywood might be getting 8 targets, but how many of those are going to be catchable? We've seen Marcus Mariota target Drake London and Kyle Pitts, but those.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're in our survivor pool where you pick one team each week. You can't repeat it at any point.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to try and pick the team who's playing the Cardinals.
Well, in week one is Washington. So it's like, okay, they're not – like they're okay, but they have a quarterback who hasn't proven anything. They're 7-point favorites, Washington.
I mean, yeah, if the Cardinals play anybody decent this year, they're going to be double-digit underdogs in every one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't write this down, but we just got the update a couple hours ago. Mac Jones is the only quarterback on the roster for the Patriots now. I mean, we were talking about last year, Bailey Zappi. Is he going to come in and get a shot and, you know, be the starter over Mac Jones? And the answer is no.
Yeah, they got the quarterback out of Louisville. They've used him as a quarterback, a receiver, a kick returner. I think he had like better college stats than Lamar Jackson, I believe. But he's been moving around on the Patriots and they love him so far. So I think he's going to be listed as their second quarterback and they'll use him as a gadget guy. I think you'll see him, you know, out there, like I said, for a receiver, maybe run the Wildcat. And so teams can have three quarterbacks on their roster, but if you have a guy like Mac Jones, who you at least trust to be decent, you know, why have three?
Right. That's all the news and notes I wrote down. Did you got anything else?
No, nothing. Nothing else new. Just that we got a game next Thursday.
Next fucking Thursday. You brought up college stats, and I knew Bailey Zappi was last year in Western Kentucky.
He holds the record, right? Touchdowns.
Yeah, I just Googled it because I was curious. He was 475 for 686, completion percentage of 70%. For 5,967 yards and 62 passing touchdowns. How are you going to cut a guy like that?
It's just insane. And he let it rip. I mean, Yeah, I was surprised they cut him. He will definitely be picked up and be a team's backup. And, I mean, you know the guy can sling it, so why not?
Right. On today's episode, we got our week one preview next week. But I wanted to touch on one player from each division for fantasy that nobody's really talking about. And I have all four of my guys from the AFC, Mason, S4, yep. Gaston, and Annecy. And all of my guys are 10th round or later, and I think they're all decent values. And, you know, obviously I'm not picking them to put in my starting lineup week one or, you know, be a league winner, but these are guys where I think they should be getting more attention and more looks than they are.
So, yep. All of mine are 10th round or two of them are undrafted. You did one per division, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so did I. I had a tough time with one division. But, yeah, you can start us off.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start with the AFC West then, since this is the first guy I thought of and wrote down. I touched on Javonte earlier, but my AFC West guy that nobody's talking about is Samaje Perine. He obviously, before we knew Javonte was Superman and coming back for week one, Samaje Perine was getting all the hype in the summer. You know, the start of the year, before the Javonte news, we were projecting him to be the starter. Now with the steady Javonte news, his ADP is in the 10th round in 12-man redraft leagues. You know, I wrote, quote-unquote, healthy for Javonte week one. Perine still gets 50% of the snaps, I would say, the first month of the season. You know, we've seen Sean Payton's offenses support two solid running backs before, most recently with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara a few years back. Perine's a guy who saw 146 opportunities last year and 40% of the red zone share, getting five touchdowns. That's not going to go away. At this point, people are treating Perine like he's dead now that Williams' hype has escalated this past month. But I would be totally happy taking him as my fourth running back in the 10th round on a Denver offense that's losing receivers left and right. Last year, the running back position I looked up saw 23% of the overall team targets. That ranks sixth in the league. So, you know, Perine, when he was on the Bengals last year, and you were the Mixon owner, you were pissed because Perine was on the field more than you expected him to be. Perine just went in the 12th round of my redraft league I did on Saturday. So at this point, give me the quote-unquote backup running back for the Denver offense who could very well see 50% just like Melvin Gordon did last year.
Yeah, he went in the 10 – at the 10-3 in the 12-man. I'm assuming yours was a 10-man, correct?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean – he was a steal. Everyone was like, okay, I'm going to get 4 weeks, 5 weeks of 75% opportunities. And he was going the eighth, and now it's definitely dropped. He's not going to be 75, but he's going to be valuable. And even, like you said, last year, those Javonte owners were pissed when Gordon was getting those opportunities because Javonte's far better. I know you were. You really were. You're getting pissed. And it's going to be the same thing, especially with the injury. So I still think you're not going to have the highs of Perine, but you're just going to have steady weeks, bye weeks happen, injuries happen. It's a really good pick. My guy is undrafted. I'll be in the NFC West. His current ADP is 214.
That's high.
Hot dog.
That's high.
Van Jefferson. Of the LA Rams. And I'm going to tell you why we need to be talking a little bit more about him. Okay. Again, going undrafted. In his last fully healthy season, which was 2021. And, you know, even last year, the team sucked. So who cares what happened? 2021, even when Cooper Kupp put up those nuclear numbers, almost had 200 targets, 14 touchdowns. He still was the wide receiver 36. And you're drafting him as the wide receiver 80 almost.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest disparity of two, you know, spots I've seen.
Yeah, and you know, wide receiver 36 is like, oh, that's crap. That is, it's not great, but for what you're drafting him as, and he is still young. He's not, you know, 30 years old. He's 27. He's got good size, good speed, and when Stafford was healthy back in 2021. The Rams threw it 601 times and had 41 touchdowns. And that's why Cooper Kupp was so valuable, because he saw 190 targets. Van Jefferson is the wide receiver too. There aren't any other guys on this team that are going to be catching passes, but in the wide receiver room, that I actually fully trust on in the Rams, besides obviously Cooper Kupp, you have Ben Skowronek, gross. Rookie at Puka Nacua, ugh. Tight ends Tyler Higbee, he'll be fine. Cam Akers isn't a great pass catching back. Like, the options there are Cooper Kupp, and then it's the wide receiver two and Van Jefferson. And he's healthy now. He didn't play the last preseason with the rest of the starters, which is a good sign that they trust him. Van Jefferson is my first guy.
Yeah, that's why a couple episodes back, I love Tyler Higbee as my sleeper tight end for pretty much the same reasons. I feel like, obviously, I don't think Van Jefferson will get drafted unless you're playing in a super deep redraft league, but he'll be a top waiver wire ad in the first couple weeks after he sees, you know, 8 targets and or his first touchdown, just because the target share, there's nobody to throw the ball to.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to the AFC. Let's go right down the line. Let's go to the AFC South here. Okay. And I'm pissed because, you know, we both love listening to the Fantasy Footballers, and I made this list before their episode on Saturday came out, and they touched on this guy quite a bit. It's running back Tank Bigsby, another running back in here.
Hey, I've loved him all offseason.
You have. You've definitely been on the train longer than I have, but we both arrived now, and that's all that matters. The final preseason game, he took the third carry of the game after ETN got the first two. ETN it wasn't a third down situation, nothing. It was a first down carry. He went 6 for 37, averaging 5.7 yards per carry over the preseason. You know, for a guy being drafted in the 11th round of redraft leagues, again, another double-digit guy, he's not just an ETN insurance policy, how some people view this guy. Weeks 1 through 4, the Jaguars have the third easiest strength of schedules for running backs, including Colts, Texans, and Falcons. Sign me up. I think Bigsby will get a decent start to, you know, with Doug Peterson flat out coming out and saying he doesn't want to run ETN into the ground this year. Great news for Bigsby. Despite playing all 17 games in 2022, ETN only got 45.5 of the team's total rushing touchdowns, which was bottom 10 in the league. You know, obviously, that leaves the door open for another running back in Tank Bigsby to get some important red zone work. And he's bigger and stronger than ETN. So, again, in the double-digit rounds, just like Piran, I am totally fine taking Tank Bigsby, not as a starter, but just as a, again, a bi-week filler. If injuries happen, which they always do, this guy could be more important than we realize in this offense.
Yeah, I truly – two things. I think I have taken Tank Bigsby in probably 90% of my mock drafts. I love the value.
He's going so late.
And I love the value. I love the player. He was a dog over at Auburn. He caught passes at Auburn. The second thing, when you said that schedule, I started pitching a tent. Goddamn.
I mean, if you don't draft him, if he somehow ends up on waivers, he will be the waiver ad for week 2. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. All right, I'm going – so we're going to the NFC South. This guy, he's got a big name. Everyone knows his name. He's probably past his prime, but he is the wide receiver one on his team.
Michael Thomas.
It is Sir Adam Thielen.
Oh, gross. Well, I know. He did leave the field in preseason. Is there an update on that injury or no?
No, not that I've seen, or I didn't even know he was banged up.
Well, you pitch your case, and I'll look up the injury news.
Yeah, even on Sleeper, the latest news, it's just he caught a touchdown in the preseason finale. So, okay. But anyway, so he's going in that, again, 10th, 12th round in mock drafts, which, again, that's your wide receiver 6. And, you know, usually we've said it before. I believe we said it last. So you want to go for those high-end, rookie, young, athletic wide receivers. And I'm all for that. I do that all the time. But when I can get a guy – who is the wide receiver one on his team with this wide receiver room, DJ Chark is banged up right now. He's missing time and missing because of a hammy. And hammies last a long time. They're not just, oh, you're healthy in a week. They are easily aggravated because you think you can do it and you just pull it again and again. Jonathan Mingo is a rookie. Their tight ends, Hayden Hurst. Ugh. Like, no, there is no one else who I trust right now. I do like Jonathan Mingo for a dynasty. Don't get me wrong. But that I trust catching the ball than Adam Thielen right now. He's 33. Yes, I get it. But he's done it for so long. He's a touchdown machine. That's why he stayed relevant with Minnesota, is because he always just separated himself with those touchdowns. Bryce Young is a young guy. Those young rookies tend to hone in on one guy, those guys that they trust and safe. And that's Adam Thielen. Red zone in this final preseason game, Adam did drop one, but he also scored a touchdown, and he had another big play across the side. So I love Adam Thielen. Going, his ADP is the 122, so again, that 12th, 10th round, depending on your league. And I think he's going to be great for early on in the season. I think towards the end, Mingo might start taking over, and maybe the Panthers just stink. You know, we don't know that, but I think he's a great value for early on in the season.
Yeah, his ADP is the only thing that saves him, because you say the name and you're like, oh, I don't want to target this guy. But we've been saying all offseason we want to target guys in those later rounds with higher upsides.
Yeah.
It's just
– all of his projections, his right now, PPR projections are, besides one, are 9 and over. That's, 9.5. That's double-digit points, essentially, because it's, you round up to just 10 just for shits and giggles. That's a double-digit guy that you're getting in the double-digit round on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm going to go look at ADPs. Where did you say he was going? I want to see you guys.
The 122.5. He went in my last mock. Where is his name? I'm surprised I did not draft him. 11-1. So Sky Moore's going. Juju. Romeo Doubs, who I do like, but Thielen was taken. Cortland Sutton, but now he's obviously rising. Alan Lazard, Jameson Williams, who's missing 6 weeks, Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, I mean, there's not obviously not a lot of options here, but in the ADPs I'm looking at, Tank Bigsby's right around him. I'd rather have Tank, but other than that, guys going ahead of him, Jameson Williams, I'd rather have Thielen, Damian Harris, Sky Moore, Zeke, Cole Kmet, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Mitchell. I'd rather have Thielen over all those guys, so I guess. Oh, it's just so good.
Jeez. You sound so excited for a steal in the 10th, 11th, 12th round.
Well, hell, I have two redrafts and two dynasty leagues this year, and I don't have Thielen in any of them. So maybe I'll get some DraftKings in there.
There we go.
He can't be more than 2,500 in DraftKings.
He'll be like 4,800.
Let's go up to the AFC North here.
Okay.
I have the wide receiver 2 for the Cleveland Browns, Elijah Moore.
Spicy, not really spicy, but I love it.
This is the mildest player on this list, and I feel like it's the no-brainer. Again, his ADP is right at the beginning of the 10th round. Last year, the Browns wide receiver 2 was basically your guy, DPJ. Donovan Peoples-Jones. He was just super consistent. He played all 17 games. He finishes the wide receiver 32. Or better in over half of them. You say wide receiver 32. It's not that great, but in over half of his games to have a flex type player, that's super consistent. He saw 96 targets, caught 61 of them for 839 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now you bring Moore in, who I believe is more talented a receiver than DPJ. Coming into year 3, fresh start, he can surpass the wide receiver 40 finish where DPJ finished last year. You get a full offseason under Deshaun Watson's belt to work with his receivers. And you're saying to yourself, oh, it's Deshaun Watson. Like, can he come back to form? Last time Watson finished as a QB5 or better was 2020. He supported Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller. Brandon Cooks was a wide receiver 15, and Will Fuller was a wide receiver 28, and playing in only 11 games, 6 and 8 touchdowns respectively. So, yes, Deshaun Watson can support two receivers in an offense. And if you say, oh, this team has Nick Chubb, they won't need to throw the ball as much. That year, the 2020, the Texans had David Johnson, who had over 1,000 total yards and 8 touchdowns. So, yes, even if Nick Chubb gets his, Deshaun Watson, if he can come anywhere close to being back to that QB5, which I get it, for some people, that's a tall task. I get it. But if he can come anywhere close to that, Elijah Moore will be a solid flex play going in the 10th round this year.
Yeah, that's another guy that I've taken a lot in those late rounds. We've seen it before. I'm a believer going into last year, and I still wasn't because he only proved it for a short amount of time. But that's the thing. He has proven it. That's what happened with Amon-Ra. He proved it for a 5-6 game stretch, and now look at him. He's going in the second round in redrafts, first round in Dynasty.
Well, I look at Elijah Moore and Christian Watson the same. They both proved it their rookie years for a solid 4 or 5 games. Christian Watson's getting all hype this year. Elijah Moore got all the hype last year. These guys have proven it, and they're talented enough to do it.
Okay, I think you lost me on that last comment, but okay.
Both of those receivers, I view the same. They are equally as talented. They could both produce.
Stop it, bro.
You forget.
We're not having an argument right now. We're having good vibes right now. We're not doing this to each other.
For this year, Christian Watson will probably finish better than Elijah Moore, but they are equally as talented. You put Elijah Moore in the exact same spot as Christian Watson this year, he will finish the exact same where Watson finishes. Obviously, we can't prove it in any way.
I'm just going back to see what Elijah Moore did. He had three games, 27, 29, and 20. Okay, yep. Three games. Where's my boy Watson? God damn it. I wish I could just – oh, here he is. Watson. And this is last year. It's not like he has a gap. Like, there's a gap. So that's why I'm a little – one's also 6'4".
The Jets didn't want to use him last year. The dude – he didn't lose – he didn't get injured. He didn't lose a step. The Jets just didn't involve him.
Okay. So 28, 18, 17, 21. Like, he just did – you guys said the same thing, but he did it with bad QB play.
He did.
I wait even to say, what about the Jets?
I was just about to say, what?
No, I understand. If you look at it on paper, yes, but there is a complete difference in the receiver, the speed, the size of Christian Watson compared to Elijah Moore.
I'm not comparing it, the speed or the size. I think they're both equally as talented, whether one guy is 6 inches tall or not.
I don't know about that, about equally talented, but I do love the Elijah Moore pick. Let's just end on a happy note.
Okay.
Okay. My NFC North, I almost dropped down to one. This is another guy. He's going undrafted.
Oh, God.
I usually love the Young Bucks, but we just went over Adam Thielen. We're going another guy who's 33 years old. He's a wide receiver 2 on his team right now. It is Marvin Jones.
I went team by team. I was like, who the fuck is he talking about?
Marvin Jones. So he is currently the wide receiver 2 on this high-powered Detroit offense team. They were 7th in passing yards last year, 10th in pass attempts last year as well. We've all talked about this offseason, obviously the young passing attack that they have with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sun God, great. Jahmyr Gibbs, the rookie that they took 12th overall, pass catching, great. Sam Laporta, took him early in the second, great. But those two guys are rookies. Like, they haven't proven anything yet. And Marvin Jones is just sitting there for 6 weeks as the wide receiver 2. The last time he was with the Lions, it was back in 2019, 2018. So it's been a couple years.
Just a couple.
He was wide receiver 18 and 28. And that was with not this offense. It was still with Stafford, but not this rejuvenated offense and this new OC and new head coach. Again, wide receiver 18 and 28. And he only played 13 games when he was wide receiver 28. He's a guy that he's going to see 6 targets a game probably for those first 6 weeks. And it could be more if those rookies aren't up to speed yet. It takes time for rookies to, get used to the flow and the speed of the game. And Jahmyr Gibbs isn't going to be on the field all the time. Him and Montgomery will be on it together. Don't get me wrong, but Marvin Jones will probably see more snap percentage than Jahmyr Gibbs might. And Laporta, in passing situations, tight ends sometimes stay in and block. So Marvin Jones will be running more routes than both of those two. And he's going undrafted. Again, I'm not saying draft him, but, he had games last year, 13.3, 17.4, 10, 10, 11, 12. Like, he's a serviceable guy. And that was with the Jags. And they weren't good early on. And then he started seeing less and less snaps because obviously Christian Kirk and Zay Jones started coming up. But I think Marvin Jones, undrafted for the first 6-7 weeks, Jameson Williams might not ever come back. I think he has a good value.
I like the argument, but I'm clearly more bullish on Jahmyr Gibbs than you.
Oh, I mean, so am I. But is he going to see 10 targets right away? He might see 10 carries and 6 targets. Marvin Jones is going to be running more routes than him and Laporta. And it's, again, it might only be 8 targets, but it's still 8 targets, which you're getting undrafted.
Where'd you say his ADP was?
I had to double check it because it was so freaking far. Oh my God. I wrote that. I guess it was worse than Van Jefferson. His ADP is
so undrafted.
Yeah. Well, now it says 999.
I might even go look on our Dynasty. He might be on waivers in Dynasty at this point.
Logan Krieger has him in Dynasty.
I like the argument. I don't. Obviously, you're not drafting him to start in redraft. He might be a waiver flyer, but
hey, these are guys no one's talking about.
Right. At this point, it's my least favorite viewer. It's just because I think Jahmyr Gibbs will see the second most targets on this team this year, but. It's
total, but that might not start out right away. That's all I'm saying.
It might not. You're right. Oh, what division we have left? I have the AFC East left. And it's, I'm going older again. I mean, not as old.
I think I know who you're going.
I'm not old. Say it right now.
I mean, you said 10th late round. It's Rodgers.
It is Alan Lazard. You're not too far off. Again, he's not as old as Adam Thielen, but again, ADP 10th round. I've had 3 10th round guys in here. Last year with Rodgers, we know with the down year, he saw 100 targets, 788 yards and 6 scores while missing 2 games. The Jets just gave him a 4-year, $44 million deal. This dude is not going anywhere. He's going to be on the field in every 2 wide receiver set they have this year. He's clearly the wide receiver 2. He has the most rapport with Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. We've all watched Hard Knocks. We've all seen the talent of Garrett Wilson. Nobody's debating who the wide receiver 1 is on this team. Nobody's debating who's going to see the most targets, yards, touchdowns. It's going to be Wilson. But, again, he has the rapport with Rodgers. The Jets don't have a clear wide receiver 2, which is now Lazard. Being drafted as the wide receiver 52 this year in fantasy, and you're not spending any draft capital on this guy. He'll be as safe as a wide receiver 3 as they come. I would not be shocked if he finished between wide receiver 30 and 36. You're getting in the 10th round.
He was 35 last year in full PPR.
Boom. Give me that again in the 10th round. Done.
Yep. I mean, yeah, I have him in our one dynasty. There were games before Watson took over, he was 14.5, 17.5, 13.5, 17.5, 12, 18, 10, 12, 11, 10, 14. Like, he was just a guy. Like, he was there. And it's when he scored. That's when he's going to not win you a week, but that's when he's going to get you those 15, 17-point games. And, again, it's the 10th round. You can start him in good matchups. Let's see. Who do they – their first half of the season's tough.
It's tough. People aren't drafting Lazard right now because he's not the new sexy, flashy toy. You know, he's not the guy with upside. You know what you're getting with Lazard. He's just a safe pick. We say it all the time. If injuries come, bye weeks come, give me Lazard as that just safety cushion with Rodgers this year.
And Alan Lazard is just a red zone threat. The dude's 6'5", 230. Like, any corner, like, no corners are 6'5". Some are 6'3". Most are 6 feet, 6'1". Like, he's just a red zone threat as well. That's where he gets his touchdown. So, I've always liked Alan Lazard. I think he's a better NFL receiver than fantasy, but again, 10th round, you're not spending up on him.
Boom. Let's round it out here. What do you got?
My last guy is young. He might be the youngest one I put out there. He does have a name as well. He was top 10 in his position last year. And all they did was give him an elite tight end, and it's Danny Dimes.
Oh, baby.
I know. This was the hardest division to do. I really didn't know what to do, but I thought, hey, Danny Dimes was QB9 last year. And the team was 25th and 27th in pass attempts. He had no one to throw the ball to on a consistent basis. What do they do in the offseason? Add a Darren Waller, who's doing nothing but blow up in this camp in preseason. Rumors are that they're taking him off the field in practice so Danny Dimes can throw it to other people. He's going nuts. Last time we saw Darren Waller healthy, tight end 2 and 3 back-to-back years. Saquon's back. That was a little concern. You know, where's Saquon going to be? Again, Saquon's a great PPR guy, and Danny Dimes can dump it off to him. And they drafted Jalen Hyatt, who, you know, he fell to the third round. He's doing well in camp. I'm seeing some good things from the writers over there, the Giants on Twitter. He has obviously insane speed. That's what he's known for. But the biggest thing with Danny Dimes, the two biggest things, is he runs the ball. He runs it. 708 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. Outlier, maybe. It's his best year. 2 years before then, 423 yards. Like, he rushes the ball 60-plus times the last three seasons, and he doubled that last year. Even if he drops back down to 80, he'll see over 400 rushing yards and maybe 3-4 touchdowns. That's a huge advantage to him compared to Aaron Rodgers, who's going around the same – he's going earlier before him but can't run. And then you talk about his value. He's going as the quarterback 16 through 18. In what – I don't love Danny Dimes as the quarterback. I don't think he's good. No. But for fantasy, there's no way that he is going to be the – unless of injury – that he's going to be worse than the QB12. So I get it. You know, QB12, that's not great. I know. I understand. But you're getting him in the 13th round, 12th round as the QB18. He doesn't need to be QB5. If he's QB10, insane value.
So scenario time, you punt the quarterback position. You take your early tight end. You take all the other positions. You punt your quarterback, and Danny Dimes is your only quarterback on a redraft roster. What's your confidence level?
Oh, it's not that high, Anthony.
He was a top 10 quarterback
last year. He was. And, you know, that definitely, you know, you were the owner. And, you know, had a couple games where he, you know, he had 28, 27, 22, 20, 21, 37. Like, he won you weeks. He can lose you some weeks. But round in this last 12 man, and you know, Derek Carr went right after him, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. So, like, there are still obviously QBs, you know, on the clock. Let's see who the rest were. I can't because the draft ended. But there are still quarterbacks out there that if Danny Dimes isn't doing well, I can get him off waivers. Like, Derek Carr usually goes undrafted in leagues. Brock Purdy, again, those guys are usually going undrafted in 10-man leagues that I can fill in for Danny Dimes.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything else. You know, I'm a big Dimes believer.
He got you the championship.
Him, Jerick McKinnon, and Evan Engram got me a dynasty championship last year. Go figure.
Jesus.
But yeah, if I had the NFC, I think Antonio Gibson would have been the easiest one for me for NFC East.
But we've talked about him. We have talked about him. He is going late. Don't get me wrong, but I wanted to get in. I don't know. I felt like that. And then the Cowboys. There's really no one. Like, we talked about Cooks. Eagles don't have any value besides, and their running back room is gross.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm not touching anybody.
Kenny Pickett and Jordan Love and Stafford. They're going after Danny Dimes. So I'd be fine picking one of those guys up. They're going to be on waivers.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I already told you my least favorite was Marvin Jones. Who's your least favorite I wrote down here?
Oh, it's my least favorite.
Samaje Perine, Tank Bigsby, Elijah Moore, Alan Lazard. Two running backs, two receivers.
I guess I would say Elijah Moore. It's either him or Lazard. Because of the quarterback play. Can Aaron Rodgers take that step? Can Deshaun Watson get back to it? If both quarterbacks are great, and then I think I think Lazard will be better just because the running game of Cleveland is going to be a lot higher than I think the Jets will be. So I think there'll be more opportunities for Lazard if both are great, I think.
But you didn't go
spicy, like undrafted like me. So like, and I've taken Elijah and Lazard, more Elijah in a lot of my drafts.
No, I didn't touch anybody past the 11th round. Just
right
at that point, like, there are they really even going to have fantasy relevance? So I wanted to put out some guys where they're at the end of the draft. So you're deciding between like some of these guys or some other guys you want to take your shot on. But all of the guys we talked about today, whether they're on your team or whether they're not, they all could be on waivers by week three. So it's the show where nobody's talking about them. It could be for a reason.
Yeah, I definitely do like Van Jefferson's value. I will say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, the offseason is officially over.
Oh, cannot wait. Next episode. Oh, my God. It's going off.
You're blowing up over there.
I am. It's the draft that's starting soon. They're all freaking blowing up my phone.
What draft spot you got and what time does it start?
I think it's at like 7:30, which is annoying because I said 8 would be great. Just because I have a haircut coming up.
Whoa, busy draft day spot. For you.
What'd you say?
Busy day, busy afternoon for you.
Very busy. My draft spot's number 2. Let's go.
Whoa, who are you hoping for? CMC?
CMC. Yeah, I'll probably go CMC. Or Jefferson. I don't know if I'll go Chase. I don't know. I'll probably go CMC though.
All right. So that'll do it for us this week. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube @TheKneelDown. Week 1's here, boys.
We'll see you next week.
See you guys.